Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast. What's going on, Los Angeles? Welcome back to the LA Football Show right here on the LA Football Network, live on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. I'm your co-host, Ryan Dyra, joined as always by the madman, Jamal Madney. This is your Rams House edition of the show. What is going on, Ramley? Don't really have a lot to talk about, but we're gonna find a way to go through it and have some enjoyable, fun Rams talk for you, because we always love talking about our Rams. But Madman, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Doing well, right? Excited to talk Rams here. The most interesting team in the world, right? I mean, are the Rams not the Dos Equis of the NFL? You know,
I love that.
Never know what's going to happen next, and I think that's the fun from Super Bowl championship to rebuilding year to refurnishing year to back in contention to we don't know if McVay's coming back. Now he is. It's always, we don't know if Les Snead is a genius. He was yesterday. He might not be today. It's just always fun to talk the Rams.
Yes, always, always. Even with not a lot going on, there's still plenty to talk about. So excited. Right. Thank you all for being here. We'll release more information, but we're going to start doing this show live every Monday and Thursday. Very excited about that, so we can interact more with you right on our YouTube channel, on Twitter, also on Facebook, and on the website, of course, lfbnetwork.com. But if you go to Rams LAFB YouTube, you can join the chat there. So we'll release times, but all four of our teams, we're going to do live starting next week, Mondays and Thursdays in the evening. So really looking forward to that, to be able to hang out with all you live and get all your questions and kind of keep growing this thing and growing. I think I was a little inspired, Jamal, watching Pat McAfee have over 500,000 people watch him live, doing more than like the likes of CNN and other network television. I mean, this is off topic, but that was impressive for us little guys, that this is what we do. And that's how, obviously, you know, he's a former player, has a big network, had Aaron Rodgers on, but it's still cool to see a guy that's just like doing a show on YouTube and there's 500,000 people watching. So that's what we're aspiring to be, right?
It absolutely. I mean, it speaks to where the future of media is headed. And when you talk about so many folks have sort of cut the cord and over the last 5 or 6 years, and the advent of streaming and now the advent of homegrown content generation and the ability to become media, if you sort of work hard enough and you know, sort of break down some of the walls that are coming down, media is the one industry that may be most ripe for disruption over the next 3 to 5 years, given everything that's going on. So Pat McAfee has been a trailblazer for guys like you and me and others. And it's always fun to have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you know, on your show. That's kind of the ultimate character right there. You don't know what he's going to do, what he's going to say. You know, there's nothing like having a self-absorbed diva with sort of an IQ complex to really drive ratings. And Aaron Rodgers is all of those things.
Yeah, I think we won't get into it, but part of me thinks Aaron Rodgers is kind of a genius. Like, I feel like he just knows exactly what he's doing, and he's just like, well, I'm going to milk it. Like, I don't care. He obviously doesn't care if he pisses people off. He's not close to his family. He doesn't have a lot of feelings for other people. I feel like he's just kind of like, people are going to just eat this up.
I mean, he's very intelligent. I mean, a lot of people have even said that, you know, from his days at Berkeley and whatnot. I mean, he's a thinker. He's a pragmatist. He is highly intelligent. I think the EQ is lacking a little bit, and you know, kind of, and that becomes a bit of a problem, right? When you don't really like people and people don't really kind of follow you, that's kind of hard to be a quarterback in January and not have people follow you, right? Those two things don't quite go hand in hand, and I think it's one of the reasons why he's arguably one of the five greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL regular season, but really with only one deep playoff run.
Yeah, exactly. So last thing I'll say about that, then we'll get into some Rams talk. And but the only thing that has annoyed me, I guess, with I guess, the villainization, if you will, of, and we'll just stick to NFL, of the NFL, and we'll just stick to quarterbacks, is I feel like the two right now in 2023 most villainized quarterbacks are Rodgers and Russell Wilson. And both guys have their faults, absolutely, have their quirks, absolutely, but neither one are like systemically bad dudes doing bad things in the community, doing anything against the law. And for some reason, they're the two at the top of like most hated in the NFL. When you have, yeah, I won't even throw out names, but you have, you know, others that have actually committed like crimes and doing other things. That's the only thing that annoys me with it. Just like, it drives so much clicks and talk about and debates on, you know, ESPN, different shows. And I'm just like, why are we talking about a guy that just doesn't like the media? Like, why, let's move on to something else. I don't know. It's always just annoyed me.
No, Ryan, I mean, it's a great point. It actually speaks more to human nature. I mean, and when you look at guys like Russell Wilson, guys like Tom Brady, guys like Aaron Rodgers, there's actually one common thread with all three of them as to why they have been sort of disliked to a certain extent over the years. And that is because I think the common fan, the average fan, doesn't really know who they are. And I think when you have that, when there's a little bit of a wall there and sort of a discovery, a lack thereof about who this person actually is at just sort of a normal level and what are they really like? You know, Brady's someone who, you know, sort of always says the right things. And Russell Wilson is a guy who, you know, gets criticized for being kind of fake, right? Everything is sort of so artificially crafted. I mean, he might as well be a politician. And then Rodgers, for very different reasons, you just don't know who he is. You know, he goes in these, you know, 7-day dark caves to sort of think about stuff. And, you know, you never hear about his family. And, you know, he's always sort of, and then he's a, you know, he's got interesting takes on, you know, medicine and all of these things. He's just a very interesting dude to try and dissect. And then when you sort of juxtapose that with a Peyton Manning, who everybody knows who Peyton Manning is, and his family is the first family of football, and he's got these shows and commercials with Eli and all of that stuff. We feel like we really know who Peyton Manning is. We feel like we can go into the Manning's living room and sort of know what to expect. We don't know what to expect with these other three guys. And I think it speaks to human nature. We so want to be a part of our teams and the players on our team that we want to sort of even know them personally. We want to fantasize that we're friends based on what they sort of give us in the media and through what we see on television and through social media. And when those guys don't give us what we want, what we're craving for, then there's sort of this natural tension. There's this sort of natural, almost hostility towards them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great point. Absolutely a great point. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, even friendships and whatnot and why it's hard to relate to someone if you don't know them and whatever. And then you kind of cast them aside as the oddball or the weird one when it's like, well, maybe they're just more quiet and independent. So anyway, yeah. Random tangent. So show is always brought to you by our friends at Bet Online. Head to betonline.ag today, promo code BELIEVE. Hopefully everyone's enjoying March Madness. Hopefully they're winning more money than I am because I've already lost a bunch, but I've done it all at betonline.ag, promo code BELIEVE. Tell them the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. So, well, let's get the news out of the way, Jamal, for the Rams, because we can get through it quickly, and then we can get on to other stuff. Coleman Shelton, re-signed. Coming back. That's the news for the Rams. Overall, just we can cross it off the list quickly, but thoughts on bringing Coleman Shelton back?
I think it's a great move, obviously, and he should feel like he's part of an exclusive club, frankly, this offseason, because we keep, it's been sort of one-way traffic for the Rams in the offseason. We're opening the door and sending people out the door, and, you know, here he comes in the door, you know, so it's kind of like, it's sort of a reverse bouncer phenomenon that's going on over here. So really thrilled for him, and it's nice to know that the Rams want to, you know, field a team next year, you know, with enough guys, you know. So it's happy about it, and you know, jokes aside, we know what the Rams are doing, we know what their plan is, and I think he's a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, Shelton's a guy that came in as a, I believe, a walk-on at a University of Washington, and so I love seeing those guys rewarded get playing time. And I think what makes him so great for this team is his versatility, which whether it's due to injuries or just due to underplaying or whatever, he can really play three spots on the line, which I think is so huge and makes you so valuable. And when you look at the Rams offensive line going in the next year, and this is all just hypothetical and guessing, but if I were to build the offensive line, I would have Alaric Jackson as my starting left tackle, who I thought came on strong last year after, again, being another walk-on out of Iowa. So for all the faults of the Rams offensive line coaches, they've done some good things with these walk-on players. So I'd have Alaric Jackson left tackle. I'd kick Joe Noteboom into left guard. You got Brian Allen coming back at center. And then at that right guard position, you kind of have a battle between Coleman Shelton or Logan Bruss, who was drafted last year, and then the stalwart in Rob Havenstein. So if everyone's healthy on paper, I mean, you have a decent starting five. Obviously, you'll add them in the draft, and you'll get a Tremaine Ingram also back, who obviously they've been bullish on for quite some time as your kind of seven depth there going into the draft. So this Coleman Shelton signing was big. I know it's the only one they've done so far. You mentioned everyone's been out the door. He's the one in, but it was a very important one because, as we've talked about a lot, we talked about last segment for the Chargers, last podcast, free agency is used, in my opinion, needs to be used to fill needs, and in the draft is used to build upon that and to better your team for the future. But you don't want to go into the draft with needs because you're just swinging and hoping at that point. Unfortunately, based on what the Rams have had to do, unfortunately with their cap space, they do have 11 picks and they're probably going to be going in with some needs, but at least Coleman Shelton checks one of those off, and at least the offensive line, like if we're being really honest, Jamal, and you, if you disagree with me, please, I know you'll tell me, I don't even have to ask you, but if you disagree with me, tell me. But I feel like the offensive line, as it is right now with health, it's not a need right now. Yes, they still need to add more in the draft. I know a lot of people want to see them upgrade at positions, but to me, it's not a need with who they have on the roster as it stands right now.
Yeah, right. I think they need to sort of fortify through the draft. I'll caveat it by saying it's not a need in free agency now at this point moving forward. I think that you can get what you need through the draft, and I think that's where they'll focus at least a couple of their picks on for sure, given where we were last year. So I think that's kind of solidifies the game plan here for the Rams. And I think that the draft is going to be so interesting because these 11 picks, Ryan, they are going to really, get a few shots on goal. And these guys are going to need to produce for this team, especially when you look at Robinson's probably going to be out the door and everyone that's already exited. Van Jefferson's going to slide over to two. And then you've got your offensive line situation. We'll see what they do at running back, what happens with Akers. And then, obviously Ramsey no more, Wagner no more, Floyd no more. And so now we get into this position, Nick Scott, no more. So now we get into this position here where we got to really hit on some guys that, want to get after it and get on the field.
I know I've talked about it with Skinny T, but I don't think I've talked about it with you. And we actually haven't really even talked about the Ramsey trade because me and Skinny T went live, so we didn't do a Rams show right after that. So I'll get your thoughts on that in a minute. But based on what everything we just said, based on, according to Over the Cap right now, they have about $10 million in cap. But again, with 11 picks, most of that is going to be needed for those 11 picks. I assume, Jamal, if I'm guessing, I think we'll see one signing out of them, whether it's a re-sign or bringing someone else in. Obviously, we can get into it, but Nick Scott just signed with the Bengals, which I think is a huge, huge loss. But just looking at everything that's happening, at 36, what position has to be, in your opinion, and they'll probably do the opposite, but if you were Les Snead, you're saying at 36, I'm taking this position no matter what, unless obviously there's a huge run and it's just like dry, but assuming that's not the case, what position at 36 do the Rams have to take?
Pass rush. I think that it's obvious that we saw the difference when the two things that happened to this team last year. One was obviously health, and more specifically offensive line health, where they couldn't really win the line of scrimmage with any sort of consistency whatsoever. And then the other glaring omission was the Von Miller, Aaron Donald dynamic that was so special for the second half of that season 2 years ago and into the playoffs. So to me, at 36, it's unless if Charbonnet's on the board, I'd be, the Bruin in me would get really, really excited about that. But I think you got to go pass rush, because if you have to be able to create that dynamic off of Aaron Donald. He's got 2 years left on his contract. You got to be able to maximize his ability as an all-pro. You've got three pillars on this team standing, Stafford, Kupp, and Donald. And really, I would argue two pillars on this team in Kupp and Donald, and Stafford being the ultimate role player. You have to set those guys up for success. And so I would go pass rush and without even thinking about it.
Well, and, it's funny. I tell people this, but we don't announce a lot, but it's like we, going into the show, we basically hop on together. We catch up a little bit and we say, okay, we're just going to talk Rams free agency. Let's see what happens. But we're always so aligned. Like, we know exactly what I feel like what the other is going to say, because I totally agree, simply for the fact that right now, Jamal, on the roster, your edge rushers are Daniel Hardy, who didn't play last year because of injury, and Michael Hoecht, who they moved over and played valiantly, but unfortunately is not a true edge guy and can't contain the edge, anything like that. So, I mean, they literally don't have an edge rusher. So I don't think they have a choice, which I hate, as I just said, taught when I, my last monologue, I hate going to the draft with a true need to fill, because then you pigeonhole yourself and force yourself to do it. But unless they get someone cheap in free agency, I mean, they legit have to, or they will not be able to field or unless they're changing from a 3-4 to a 4-6 kind of scheme and totally making their defense look differently, because they just don't have the bodies, which is wild.
Two interior linemen, seven linebackers, and two secondary players,
Yeah, I mean, they might be going Aaron Donald and Ernest Jones and saying the rest is all secondary, which they don't have a lot of that either. So, oh man, it's going to be, I'm still optimistic about this season. I think they can still do things, but it's going to be really interesting how they fill out this roster because of how barren it is. Is there I don't know how in depth you've got to the draft. I know you always know draft stuff. You and Will Decker do a lot of draft stuff together when you do Bruin Bible and whatnot, but is there an edge guy that, obviously the Nolan Smiths, who's like blew the combine away, but he's obviously not going to be there at 36. Is there kind of a guy maybe that you would think could be available at 36 you would lean to?
Ryan, I think there's some interesting guys, across the board there. I'll be honest with you. I think whether it's 36 or whether, maybe you go, if you have an elite offensive line prospect at 36 and you start there. But the guy I would kind of have my eye on in terms of value is Tutu Polotu from USC. And, he led the Pac-12 in sacks last year. And really was the sole dominant player, him and Kalen Bullock, on that team last year. And so obviously there's some guys at Georgia, and there's some guys obviously in the SEC at Bama, Ole Miss, and what have you. And of course Ohio State kind of has their guys. But I think if you're sitting at 36, you have to go pass rush. A lot of people have Tui Polotu, a little bit lower than 36, kind of in the 60s, 70s, 90s, one round away. But I think you and I have always believed in, when you have your guy, just take your guy. It doesn't really matter where it is, because there's no guarantees you're going to get that guy in the next cycle. I would actually go Tui Polotu, because I think he's going to come in right away and make an impact. Sometimes with pass rush, what tends to happen is you're playing so much for upside where, the first year or two, it takes sort of a while for these great pass rushers to kind of get used to the game and then sort of grow into it. Like, we've seen flashes of Thibodeau. We saw sort of flashes of Young his first year. It takes them a little bit of time to really get going. Even with Hutchinson, you see flashes with some of these top-end prospects because they're still really growing into their enormous potential. But sometimes when the ceiling is a little bit lower on these guys, they kind of know their games. They know who they are. The adjustments are very incremental. Those are the guys that are going to give you the most impact right away. And frankly, if I'm the Rams, I'm not trying to think about, the next great pass rusher per se. I'm thinking about who can come in and complement Aaron Donald as quickly as possible right away in the way that Von Miller did. And to me, Tui Polotu really fits that bill, given the need and given the circumstance of my organization.
Yeah, I love Tui Pulotu. And, you know, I know there's, I don't know about concern, but there's question marks now with the, you know, the going down of weight. Does he have the speed to be able to play at that weight? Should he go back up? Should he be a true three tech, a five tech, or a true edge? Whatever it is. But I mean, all the guy does is to produce. I mean, led the NCAA for almost the entire season in sacks from kind of that five tech position. So, I love Tui Pulotu. I don't know if he has the true speed to be a true edge, but in today's NFL, I mean, you can be versatile and be different in that regard. So the guy I'll mention, and then we were of course out of time, but I'm really curious, Jamal, to see what happens with Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa. Yeah. A kid that, yeah, I think has a ton of talent, speed, and a guy that, you know, projected right now in the second round. I mean, you see these edge guys, sometimes they go on a run and he could go as high as the first round. But if he's there at 36, because 36, you know, is arguably a first round pick, you're four picks out of the first round. He's a guy I think at edge would be a slam dunk if he's available there. And, you know, if Iowa, when you look at pedigrees of colleges, and I know they say scout the player, not the helmet, but you look at a school like Iowa, they produce tight ends, they produce tackles, and they produce edge guys. And so he fits that pedigree, and he'd be a fun one to see. So we'll see what happens. Lot more to get into with the Rams. Coleman Shelton coming back. Outside of that, no other news for the Rams, but hey, we'll have you covered on the LA Football Network. That's all the time we got for podcasts, for radio. We will be back after the break. Keep it right here. This is the LA Football Show.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.